as often happens on these high holy days, as you know, I often run late because I have to come from Mastic Beach first, but this morning, I have to say, leaving late from there sort of paid off because I got to hear the Handel's entire Hallelujah chorus on my way over. And, you know, it's funny. It's one of those songs that you know it's beautiful, but every time you hear it, it strikes me again how beautiful it is, especially when it's done by some great, you know, choir. And on the way, listening to those sounds of Hallelujah, it just really fed my heart. So with that in mind, Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Now, don't you just love that opening acclamation? Doesn't it just make your heart want to sing? I mean, it has Easter written all over it. And I would be hard-pressed to find another set of words that can bring as much joy to a Christian as those that opened our Eucharist this Easter day. And the best part is that we're not done with it yet. For the next great 50 days of Easter, every time we gather for the Eucharist, we get to open up the great Thanksgiving by calling out, Hallelujah, Christ is risen, the Lord is risen indeed, Hallelujah. So yes, it brings much joy to the heart to hear those words. But along with joy, it also brings hope. Our opening acclamation speaks of a promise fulfilled. It tells of a new world order. With his resurrection, Christ changed everything. Because of his resurrection, death no longer has a hold on us. By his resurrection, we are redeemed and have been given eternal life. Through Christ, we are made co-inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. By the waters of our baptism, we are made Christ's brothers and sisters. Through Christ, we are all children of the living and loving God. Through baptism, Jesus has called each of us by name, inviting us to take our place at the table, both this table and the heavenly table. So what greater joy is there than to be called by name by Christ? And the good news, in the gospel according to John, we hear about Mary Magdalene, and we get to witness the great joy she felt when Jesus called her by name. In our gospel, John tells us that Mary went to the tomb of Jesus of Nazareth. Now, we're not quite sure why she went, but the other gospels tell us of Mary going there with other women to properly prepare the body. If you remember from our readings of the Passion, both last Sunday and on Good Friday, we are told that Jesus is hastily put into the tomb because they were trying to have him buried before the Sabbath. So now, as often is the case, the women had to come back and clean up the mess that the men left behind. But John's gospel, we're not told about the other women, and we are not told exactly why Mary is coming to the tomb alone. Maybe she plans to prepare the body by herself. Or possibly she has come to spend some time alone with her friend and her teacher. taking the opportunity, now that everyone else is gone, to say her own goodbyes. But whatever her reason for coming to the tomb, once she is there, she is met by a horrible surprise. Much to her dismay, Mary finds that the tomb is open and the body missing. And we are told that she runs to find the other disciples, and she tells Peter what happens. And with Peter is the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, the gospel never exactly tells us who this disciple is, but it is often assumed that it is John, you know, basically trying to be modest in. So they run ahead with Mary following, and we're told that the disciple that Jesus loved gets to the tomb first, but he waits. And then Peter shows up and he goes in. And then the other disciple follows Peter. And they see the cloth that had wrapped Jesus' body lying in a pile. They see the piece of linen that had covered his face rolled up and set separately. And we're told that he finally believes. Yet they do not understand what has happened. So they still haven't quite got it yet. But then the men leave. They go back to their homes, back to their families and other disciples. But what about Mary? Mary is not going to be deterred by an empty grave. Even after the men leave, Mary sticks around to see what she can find out. And as she looks into the grave one more time, she sees angels there, and they ask her, you know, more or less, why is she there? What is she looking for? And when she turns around, she's weeping. And through her tears, she sees something. But then she looks again, and it's not something, it's someone. And we all know it's Jesus. But she doesn't yet. Through her tears, she thinks it's possibly the gardener. That if it is the gardener, maybe, just maybe, he can tell her what happened to the body. Maybe he can help her. And maybe if she asks politely, he'll give the body back to her and she can take care of it. As I said, she is blinded by grief and disbelief, and she doesn't recognize Jesus. But really, why would she? I mean, wasn't she there when Jesus was taken to Golgotha? When he was stripped, laid down, nailed to the cross, and then lifted up? Wasn't Mary there as Jesus was hanging from the cross, suffering and gasping for breath? She saw him take his last breath. She watched as Joseph of Arimathea took him down from the cross and watched as they put him in the tomb. So why wouldn't Mary suspect Jesus to be there? Why would she have any expectations of a man who's supposed to be dead standing right behind her? And so she asks him if he has taken the body away where she might find it. Now, Jesus is moved by great love. And he speaks to Mary, and he says, one simple word. Just one word. And that word is Mary. Yes, Jesus speaks her name. That's all he says is her name. Now, we all know that names are important. Most parents struggle over what they're going to name their child. going back and forth, looking at this option and that option. And if you don't think names are important, go into our Sunday school some morning and accidentally call one of the children by another child's name and see how quickly you get corrected. And my years of doing street ministry with the homeless in Springfield and other places has taught me that, especially amongst the homeless, their name is important because they are often walked past on the street and people pretend not to see them, not to recognize them. And so if you remember their names, many of them are filled with great happiness because somebody has gone out of their way to recognize them. And I know throughout the years, putting the shoe on the other foot, when I've gone to visit people, say in the hospital, in hospice, or in some of the nursing homes, especially those who may be suffering from Alzheimer or another medical disorder that has, you know, that has kept them from, you know, remembering things. The great joy when I walk in and they say, "Hello, Father John Jeffrey." There's a great joy when they recognize you. So names are important because they tell other people who we are. And when other people remember them, it's a sign of respect, sometimes a sign of love. So it's no small thing to be called by name, especially if it is by Jesus. And being called by name by Jesus is life-changing. When we are baptized by our name. And in doing so, it marks us as God's own forever. When we are baptized by name, we are made one with Christ. So it is no small thing to be called by your name. Just ask Mary this morning. Oh, what great joy it was for her on that first Easter morning to hear Jesus calling out, "Mary." And when he calls out her name, not only does he take away her pain and sorrow, he makes himself known to Mary as the risen Christ. At that moment, Mary is filled with love, with happiness, with great joy, and most important of all, hope. And after Jesus tells her that he must go on to see the Father, but sends her out to talk to the rest, we are told that she goes to proclaim the risen Christ. She tells them that Jesus is alive. So Mary becomes the apostle to the apostles. An apostle is one that is sent out. We often talk about the 12 apostles, but Mary is often considered, especially by Orthodox brothers and sisters, as the apostle to the apostles. Jesus sent her out to tell the rest of them the good news that he is risen. So Mary is the very first one to proclaim the risen Lord. She is the first to name Jesus risen Lord. And like Mary, we too are called to proclaim the good news that Christ is risen. By our baptismal covenant, we too are called to name Jesus the risen Lord. So on this day, as we rejoice in the glory of Christ's resurrection, we who were called by name gather together this morning. We stand with those who came before us. We stand with Mary of Magdala. And standing with them, we make it our own cry. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.